Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
この番組はジャパントップ10ナンバーワンの J-POP ポッドキャストです。このエピソードはニュースエピソードです。 You're listening to Japan Top 10 The number one Japanese music podcast. You're listening to a news episode on Japan Top
10. Hi and welcome to Japan Top 10. I'm Brinton.
And I'm Shauna.
And this is episode 488, and we're bringing to you a news fall of 2023 episode. Before we get into things, let's start with a few announcements. Are you an indie band or artist that makes Japanese music and are looking to be featured on our podcast? Reach out to our music director, Nola, by sending her an email at nola@jtop10.jp. That is nola@jtop10.jp. We may feature you on a future episode. See our website at jtop10.jp for more information.
And that's not all. We're also looking for new team members. We're currently looking for various staff members, including audio editors, content producers, and even on-air hosts like Brinton and I. So if you want to join the biggest and best Japanese music-based podcast out there, check out our website at jtop10.jp/join for all the details.
Would you like to advertise on our podcast? Market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts. Reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. Find the full details at jtop10.jp to find out an advertising plan that will suit your company's needs.
And that's not all. If you want to hear more music on our episodes and maybe a bit more conversation, some more fun songs, join our Patreon club at jtop10.jp/club. And starting at just $1 a month, you can support our podcast along with getting more music and insights into Japanese music culture. So I'm actually really excited to get into this episode. Lots of stuff has been happening around the world and in Japan as well. So we have a couple of really interesting stuff to share with y'all. That being said, we will jump into our first sort of topic, and here are some of the headlines from Japan. So our first story is about how Fukushima receives global backlash for treated nuclear wastewater release. So this is one of the more topical stories that are currently making its rounds in Japan, where the Japanese government has finally authorized the release of treated water used to cool the nuclear incident 12 years ago in Fukushima. Fishermen, both in the area as well as all over Japan, are deeply upset by this decision, with the majority worried about both the reputation and sustainability of their industry. About 100 of them have even gone as far as to file a lawsuit against the government. China, their biggest consumer, has also placed an all-out ban on imported Japanese seafood, forcing the Japanese government to increase their aid packages to the industry by 20 billion yen, which is an additional 25% of their normal aid package. As the water continues to be released in the ocean, opinions continue to develop and the effects are bound to be seen.
Yeah, I think this did come up in a previous Japan Top 10 news episode, and it's pretty surprising how there's a lot of reaction about, I guess, what is essentially not terribly radiated water, especially water that's going to be released over, you know, a lot, like many years rather than all at once.
True, but I suppose the fear is of the quality dipping and a lot more health implications, because we still don't necessarily know what the effects of releasing that nuclear, the treated nuclear waste water would be, right? So, and for a country that's seen the devastation of nuclear warfare, I don't think it's such a far-fetched fear at all.
Yeah, I think it's a very difficult decision, and I guess releasing this treated water was kind of like the best of, you know, many bad possible options.
It's true. I suppose we just need to kind of understand why the government made this decision and if stringent measures are taken. I think the sort of effects and the fear can be mitigated.
Yeah, and I guess even though it might be a very difficult decision, I'm hoping there is at least a lot of, you know, cooperation about it. Which leads us into our next headline. Japan plans to reignite strong economic ties with China. The business leaders in Japan have begun to visit China again after a long period following the pandemic. There are still difficulties to face, however, with issues related to the treated water release from Fukushima and other political issues. The group of business leaders plans on signifying the importance of the two economies' cooperation. Members in this group include the chairman of the Japan Business Federation, Masazaku Tokura, the most influential business lobby called Keidanren, the head of the Japan Chamber of Commerce, Ken Kobayashi, and the chairman of Nippon Steel Corp, Kosei Shindo, who also leads the Japan-China Economic Association.
I suppose this is in tie with our previous story, and I guess the need or the hope to reignite economic ties with China is not one that is completely unpredictable. But given after the COVID-19 pandemic and a lot of other issues that have sprung up where China's chosen to separate itself or cut off a lot of ties, it's very interesting to see Japan reaching out to build that relationship again.
Yeah, especially with, I guess, most of the pandemic being focused around trying to keep the lights on. You know, there's only really one way to revitalize an economy, and that is reaching out to other countries and, you know, I guess bringing back that trade freedom that, you know, once was there before the pandemic.
Absolutely. It is, again, in line with, you know, everything coming back to normal. While I think people in general, everyday life may have sort of overcome a lot of the after effects of the pandemic with the normalcy of things kind of coming back into gear, we definitely do see economies finding the need or realizing the need to create those connections again, especially ones that broke down during a time where no travel or interaction was possible.
Yeah, I guess to add on to that, I think at the time Japan had one of the most restrictive, I guess, COVID measures, you know, in the world. So yeah, of course, it's in their best interest to try and bring more, you know, stronger economic ties with not just China, but, you know, the world, like the world at large.
Absolutely. And this is very much in line with the preparation for the upcoming 2024 Paris Olympics, which is our next story. So the Japanese sports teams are gearing up for the upcoming Olympics in Paris. Their men's basketball team, for example, just qualified. They won against Cape Verde with a final score of 80-71 on Saturday, September 2nd, at the Okinawa Arena. They'll be entering as the top Asian team in this World Cup, following, and this is after like around 48 years, so there's lots of excitement and buzz around that. To some disappointment, however, though, the men's soccer team is still struggling. They've only taken one of their 5 warm-up games as a victory, despite having a lucky draw that put them against none of the top 5 teams. Japan, though, is known to surprise fans during the actual Olympic matches, so we can only wait and see what the Japanese teams have in store for us. Are you a supporter or are you a big watcher of the Olympics, Clinton?
Unfortunately, no. Yeah, I think, back in 2016, after hearing about what exactly it took to hold the Olympics in Brazil, I kind of fell out of love with the idea of the Olympic Games altogether.
I can understand that. It's definitely one of those situations where the glorification of a big scale event versus a lot of the unforeseen or unseen, unspoken about effects. But I think it's definitely like the Olympics being held is a great step, considering there was such a massive issue about the Olympics being held in Japan a couple of years ago, right? So it's really nice to see everyone getting back into the spirit of something that's very unifying at the end of the day. So we can't wait to see what the Japanese teams have in store for us at the Olympics.
Yeah, definitely. Especially after so many years of, I guess, being apart. It's always good for us to get back together every now and then. And on to our next headline. Typhoon Haikui reaches Japan. A strong typhoon hit Okinawa's main island, as well as Miyako Island and the Sakishima Islands, September 1st and 2nd. On August 31st, the typhoon had reached a central pressure of 985 hectopascals, with the wind speed at the center reaching 30 meters, and the maximum instantaneous wind speed reaching 45 meters. Basically, that's really fast. The winds were strong enough to produce really high waves, placing more than 30 million people on alert.
It's definitely a scary situation to be in, no doubt. Where we see lots of natural calamities kind of taking the forefront these days, and it's become a very scary situation where we're seeing the effects of years of exploitation of natural resources and years of just a lack of care, I suppose, for environmental factors, and now we're seeing the real effects of that sort of lackadaisical attitude. And while Japan is no stranger to typhoons, it's definitely scary when it happens nonetheless.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but that kind of phenomenon is called El Nino or El Niña, right?
I think so. But that being said, it is definitely a very scary thing, especially for the people living on Okinawa's main island, as well as the Miyako and Sakishima Islands. And our prayers and hearts go out to the people affected by the typhoon.
Yes, hopefully it should come to pass soon.
On to some hopefully brighter news. Japan launches the H-2A rocket that will carry a lunar lander. So after a one-week delay due to bad weather, the rocket successfully launched on Thursday, September 7th, as the nation's first probe mission planned to land on the moon. The probe's name is SLIM, standing for Smart Lander for Investigating Moon, and it was developed by JAXA, the Japanese Aerospace Institute. And as long as they succeed, Japan will become the fifth nation to probe on the moon. This rocket also carries another project, XRISM, which is X-ray Imaging and Spectroscopy Mission, and this will be a space observation satellite. And this was jointly developed by JAXA, NASA, and other institutes. Extra measures have been put in place to check the rocket's path as the H-3 rocket from last March failed. So there are lots of additional concerns about the two rockets' shared paths, but nonetheless, this is a great victory for Japan, seeing that hopefully we see the lunar program come to pass and Japan kind of making its debut on the moon.
I'm gonna be honest, I don't know too much about these rocket parts that, you know, that have failed and, you know, what's gotten people all stirred up about it, but I am very excited to hear some news about space, especially earlier in the year. I think the most exciting thing about space was there being a somewhat maybe confirmation of aliens. So yeah, really excited to hear more about space.
Definitely a field that we're yet to explore, and there's so much that can be done. And this is really great news in line with, I suppose, something slightly more topical to me, but the landing of the Chandrayaan mission on the dark side of the moon from India. So these two in tandem are just showing us the leaps and bounds we're making in unexplored spaces and the potential that exists for us to continue to explore something as vast and absolutely unfathomable as space.
Yeah. And I'm not sure about you, Shana, but I guess every time I think about space, it does kind of bring sort of like smallness to the world that we live in. Like, wow, I wonder if from the moon, you know, we're all kind of just tiny specks of dust.
Definitely an existentialist thought, right? But what are we but a speck of dust in millions of galaxies? But it's really exciting to see the way humans are trying to find out more in the search and the exploration, the curiosity that drives a lot of what we do. It's quite a beautiful thing, despite our fear of the inconsequentiality of ourselves in the larger picture.
Yeah. On the bright side, I'm hoping someday I can go on holidays, you know, to the moon.
Wouldn't that be fun, just saying, oh yeah, taking a quick trip to the moon? Oh, definitely something we can look forward to. And if we're going to talk about things to look forward to, we're coming in with our first song of the episode. Brinton, would you like to introduce the song?
Yes. So our first song for this episode is Wasere Poinda by Indigo La End. Wasere Poinda, Wasere Poinda, Anata ga shite kureta are mo kore mo wasere chatta na nurui mizu no naka da kokochi ii uchi ni ima made arigatou wo kyū ni uita kotoba de ima watashi tachi ja That was Wasserde Poinda by Indigo La End. Indigo La End debuted in April 2009, but did not hit the ground running until February 2010. The group has gone through two personnel changes after 2010, but has remained a cutthroat appealing group to many.
They've had four studio albums that peaked at top 10 in Japan, and they're led by their vocalist and songwriter, Inon Kawatani.
The music video is worth a watch, as it displays a couple going through nostalgic memories as if they are being replayed, opening with the woman taking pictures at the beach.
Definitely a fun song to add to this episode. I really enjoyed the music video for one, and it's slightly in line with what we were talking about earlier, where the humanness of humanity, I suppose, kind of was really showcased in this music video. So definitely touched my heart here and there.
Yeah. What I like about the song is that despite, I guess, how mellow it sounds, it does, like, the lyrics, I guess, when you do kind of take a look at the lyrics, they are quite sad. What I gathered from it is that it's kind of about, you know, breaking up and forgetting the happiness or, I guess, a love that's kind of slipping from a person's mind.
A rather sad thought, but nonetheless a great addition to, I suppose, our study into or our looking into human nature and the things that drive us. That being said, if you're an otaku, we're here with announcements for you. So for our gamers, our first story of the episode is our talk about the Xbox units. So Microsoft has been having a bit of trouble selling their Xbox gaming consoles in Japan, with the number one reason being that the Japanese company Sony has been dominating the market for years with their PlayStation. They have only made the sale of around 2.3 million Xbox units, and this is despite four different consoles over the span of 20 years. This is a rather sad statistic when you compare it to Sony's 19 million PlayStations sold alone. Oh, PlayStation 1s, sorry, sold alone, which is actually quite a mind-boggling number. 90 million people in Japan have bought PlayStation 1s, which is... It definitely puts into perspective how much we've grown into, like, a gaming culture.
Yeah. And I guess 19 million PlayStation 1s, I can't even imagine it. But I know that the PlayStation 2 is one of the best-selling consoles ever. So, yeah, I really hate to see how the Xbox stacks up against, you know, the PlayStation 2.
Definitely a scarier statistic to look at, but it's really interesting because you see the evolution of games and gaming units, and I remember when I was younger, the Xbox was really big, at least amongst my friends, and, you know, it's really interesting to see that Japan has, or the Japanese people have a clear preference for the PlayStation. I wonder why that's there, but it's really interesting to see how competitive the market gets as well.
Yeah, I think I could be wrong, but one of the most compelling reasons why Microsoft consoles haven't sold well in Japan historically is usually because games that are generally released for Xbox don't really appeal that much to Japanese people. I know there used to be, like, a push for more Japan-focused games back in the Xbox 360 era, but yeah, that unfortunately, it hadn't really improved things.
Definitely some food for thought on our gaming preferences and more, I suppose.
And while we're on to our gaming news, our next headline is about a PlayStation 4 and 5 game. So, yeah, this is actually a game that is, I guess, based on the popular anime, Is It Wrong to Try and Pick Up Girls in the Dungeon? So, yeah, this show is now getting its own game on the PlayStation 4 and 5, with following the success of the PC, iOS, and Android versions. So this is really interesting, as it indicates the still-thriving popularity of Sony consoles. And also, this means that fans of the anime can now control their favorite characters with a controller-compatible platform.
It's really interesting to see the love people have for one of, like, their favorite animes. It's when your favorite anime becomes a video game, or your favorite video game becomes an anime, and there's lots of buzz because you're invested in the storyline. Are you a big gamer, Brenton?
I am, but unfortunately not one of anime-based games.
Ah. Any particular favorites?
This game... Yeah, there's a game that I've really gotten into lately, and actually this game came out a few days ago, and it's called Starfield, and it's a game that's kind of out... It's out on Xbox and PC right now, and it's all about exploring space.
Ooh. So maybe for the Japanese individuals who did end up buying the Xbox, which, you know, you're a rare breed clearly there, you have a game recommendation. But that being said, Nintendo is bringing the old school back to modern consoles. So they're bringing new Game Boy games to the Nintendo Switch. Nintendo Switch Online is adding 4 new Game Boy games: Kirby's Star Stacker, Quest for Camelot, Downtown Neketsu March, and Joy Mech Fight. So old school games are still finding their popularity on modern consoles, which may relieve those who've been around in the gaming industry since its earlier beginnings. I'm definitely a fan of the aesthetic or the, you know, pixel graphic art of old school Game Boy games. Definitely some nostalgia there. I think I used to play a couple of, you know, arcade games when I was younger, so it's nice to see that, you know, it's always a circle, trends always come back, and the love for old school games never dies out.
Yeah, unfortunately I missed the Game Boy train back in the day. Nevertheless, I'm excited to see that Nintendo is still releasing, or I guess re-releasing these classics to a larger audience than before.
I'm sure people who played the games earlier are excited to see not a revamped version, but a new refurbished, I don't even think refurbished is the right word to use, but see their old games come back to life on modern consoles. I think one of the biggest, you know, parts of new age technology is the fact that things go obsolete very, very quickly. So it's nice to see that Nintendo has made a little space for games that I'm sure are close to people's hearts.
I guess, yeah, with Nintendo Switch Online. I did grow up with the Nintendo 64 back in the day, and I'm still waiting on Nintendo Switch Online to release The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask and Banjo-Tooie. So, Nintendo people, if you're listening, please release them for me.
You're hearing an ardent plea, so that's definitely something I'm sure lots of Zelda fans are, you know, excited for, looking forward to. I'm sure you're not alone there.
And now, here we have some anime news. First up, the creator of Neon Genesis Evangelion takes a break. Hideaki Anno, for the first time in 30 years, finds his schedule free. He states that he is feeling the effects of continuous work since 1985. This doesn't necessarily mean that he's not open to new projects, but it does mean that he is enjoying the unexpected period of relaxation. Perhaps one of the reasons he's always so busy is because of his dual role as an animator and director. He says, "For the first time in over 30 years, my future is a blank slate. I've worked so much that I want to take a break."
Okay, one, I am a big Neon Genesis Evangelion fan. It was one of the first animes I ever watched, and I think it really did revolutionize the idea of Gundam mecha anime. But it's really nice to see that he's taking a break. I think everyone deserves a bit of a break, especially Hideaki Anno, who has released so much, like, so many continuous episodes over the years that we have all really enjoyed. So it's nice to see that, you know, he also gets a break now and then, though I'm sure it's disappointing to many Evangelion fans.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's been at it for 30 years. I think a break wouldn't hurt, surely.
No harm, I think. Definitely a well-deserved break.
Yeah, but I guess for fans of Evangelion or the Shin series of movies, I guess you could look at it this way, in that, you know, it's more about quality of work than quantity of work.
That's a very positive way of looking at it. And hopefully fans are not too mad about the break, but appreciate what is possibly going to come. So That being said, we have new anime on our radar. For fans of anime, I'm sure this has been an amazing season with lots of our favorite animes coming out with new episodes. Animes like Bungo Stray Dogs, Jobless Reincarnation, and Jujutsu Kaisen have received new episodes and seasons over the past few weeks. This has created some insane buzz in the anime community, and we're all here for it. In Jujutsu Kaisen, for example, the new Shibuya Incident arc, I'm actually really, really enjoying this, side note, but it has begun and it's supposed to bring a whole new level to the anime, and I completely agree. So, without too many spoilers, this arc has some major reveals, action-packed fights, and is extremely anticipated because it covers about 60 chapters in the manga. So for any people who follow the manga and anime side by side, you're going to be really excited to see some of your favorite scenes come to life. The first couple of episodes leave us wanting more with some insane mecha fights. So I'm a personal fan of Bungo Stray Dogs and Jujutsu Kaisen. Jobless Reincarnation is definitely an anime I need to get on. I'm very ashamed of myself for not having watched it yet, but when they announced the new season of Bungo Stray Dogs, I think my heart just flew. It was a moment of great happiness. I'm a big Osamu Dazai fan. Definitely some big, lovely new announcements for our anime watchers.
Yeah. Unfortunately for me, I'm not quite as lucky. There's just so much anime, so little time.
Everyone needs to bully Brinton into watching some anime, I think. Especially with some cool new seasons and episodes out, I think it's the perfect time to get back into some anime, if and when you have time.
Not if, but rather when.
Oh, the struggles of living life, I suppose. But it can't be all hard work and no play. You can take a page out of Hideaki Anno's book and take a break, maybe, to catch up on some anime.
Hopefully, but yeah, it's not to say that I haven't been watching any shows or, I guess, TV at all. We'll go over it later on in this episode, but yes, I have been keeping myself thoroughly entertained with, I guess, One Piece being released on Netflix.
Ah, a bit of a spoiler for the rest of the episode, but nonetheless, we will continue on till we can fangirl over the new One Piece, but...
Yeah, it's really interesting that you bring up Osamu Dazai, because, yeah, I guess this relates to our next headline on our anime news, which is Scary Doraemon, introduced as manga. Junji Ito, who is a very well-known mangaka, has taken over Doraemon, this time introducing it with a spooky twist. In 15 stories, you will find how these new future gadgets go awry. The series is called Zokuzoku Buruburu Horohen, or Shivering Horror Edition, and was released on August 28th. The original manga debuted in 1970, and this series gets much of its acclaim from its ability to cater to individual readers, providing a plethora of themes and unique stories.
It's very interesting to see Junji Ito delve into the world of Doraemon. I'm pretty sure, give or take, everyone has seen at least one Doraemon episode or is familiar with our little blue friend. And, you know, while I'm personally mildly sad to see the fluffy, very wholesome Doraemon take a scary twist, it's really interesting to see how one character can be so versatile.
Yeah, I can see how it can feel like a bit of a betrayal to your childhood. But at the same time, I have noticed that the internet lately has been full of, I guess, child-friendly horror. I think Five Nights at Freddy's is one of them. I know back in the day, there was this sort of like fan edit of Garfield comics where it took a more sort of horrific twist. So I don't think this is too out of the ordinary.
Fair. I think there's nothing the internet loves more than a little bit of horror. Given the rise of true crime podcasts, which is my personal favorite trend, I think. It's definitely interesting to see, you know, a childhood character being reinvented in ways that we never really thought about. If Doraemon is, if you're a fan of Junji Ito and you grew up on Doraemon, you're going to see what I think is going to be the coolest crossover ever.
Let's hope that it doesn't lead into a bunch of other adaptations of popular childhood franchises. Crayon Shin-chan Horror Edition when?
Oh my god. I think you're fueling the anime industry at this point. So before we give them more ideas, I think you should patent some of them before Japanese producers get their hands on them. We are on to our next song. So our next song is Mirand Doll by Ichiko Aoba, and it was released on August 26, 2023.
Oh,
And you just listened to Mirandol by Ichiko Aoba. So her website has a really nice, you know, self-introduction bit. And here's what it says. A musician born on January 28, 1990. After releasing her first album, Kamisori Otome, in 2010, she's released 6 solo albums over the years. With her voice and classical guitar, she's gone on many journeys, performing all over Japan and across the world.
Yeah, from her website, it also mentions that not only has she restricted herself in the music world, but she has also taken her talent to another level, taking on roles in narration, advertisement, theatre music, and installation art. In 2020, marking her 10th anniversary, she established her independent label, Elmin. She continues to create a world of fantasy where the heart warmly beats.
Clearly we have a multi-talented queen on our hands, and if you really want to kind of experience her impact, you can definitely check out her album cover artwork for this song, as well as the heartfelt comments that kind of populate the YouTube video version of the song. Definitely some really lovely, like, artwork. It kind of gives you the entire vibe all in, like, a picture, which is very nice. And it's really interesting to see everything that she has accomplished.
Yeah, it's very rare to hear a song like Meringue Doll. And I know this is going to sound weird, but the song sounds kind of like what I would imagine breathing to sound like if it were a song. It's really calming, and like, I guess if you were to dig into the lyrics of the song, there isn't really a lot going on. So it really surprised me to, I guess, get a sense of how expressive it is whilst also not saying much at all.
It's definitely a very heartwarming, you know, song that's easy on the ears. Definitely love the vibe of it overall.
Yeah. If you're a fan of this kind of song, I would highly recommend listening to Lily Shushu or Björk.
Ooh, yes. I definitely get Lily Shushu vibes from her music. So now you have a couple more song recommendations on your list.
And now onto our news stories. First up, Japan boosts economy. To many surprise, Japan has seen a 6% annualized growth over the past 3 months, almost double what economists originally predicted. This is largely due to the yen's previously depreciating value. Its weak currency gave international consumers an incentive to buy more, therefore increasing export rates across the board. Japan remains the world's third largest economy. However, there are still many financial crises that loom in the nation's midst. Although wage raises have been at a high, more so has inflation, severely crippling the average person's spending power. This has led to a decrease in private and domestic spending.
All economies are kind of in a very scary state in current times. I mean, Birmingham just announced bankruptcy, which is quite insane to me, but I think we're seeing a global sort of recession, or the beginnings of one, which is a very scary place to be. But it's very interesting to see that Japan has seen growth over the past 3 months. But I suppose it is par for the course considering the yen is depreciating in value.
Yeah. I think this news kind of does hit close to home for me here in Australia. Yeah, recently we've gone through 12 interest rate rises, and I can definitely say for myself that living week to week has been a lot more difficult than it used to be. It's gotten to the point where there's actually a new vocabulary describing, I guess, the situation that we're in. I guess what we're experiencing right now in Australia is called a cost of living crisis. But yeah, there's actually the new term for it is cozy lives. So yes, there's some Australian slang for you.
Something I think very unfortunately all of us are going to be adding to our dictionary, but I suppose it is a cycle that we'll have to go through, especially considering the inflation that's kind of made its way across the globe. That being said, in Moyuv, we have an anime studio arson case that's been uprooted. So in 2019, a KyoAni studio was set ablaze with petrol. Shinji Aoba has recently admitted to his crimes, which ended up killing 35 people on the top floor of the studio. Aoba had proceeded to commit this act because of his inclination that the studio had stolen his work, which he had entered during a contest held by the studio. He's currently facing multiple charges such as murder, attempted murder, and arson. This studio, KyoAni, most widely known for its anime K-On!, which is definitely an anime that has pretty big fan base.
Yeah, I guess it's really tragic to hear that, 35 people died in the incident. I can't even imagine that many people dying.
It's definitely a scary situation, and it's one of those things where you see people commit acts without understanding the consequences, and it's a very sad place where someone loses their life over a situation that they could not or had no real part to play in. And it's such a tragedy that, you know, so many people lost their lives. And I'm glad to see some justice being pulled up here. But I hope the case is definitely looked into and accurate justice is meted out.
Yeah, like, even if, I guess, it did turn out that, you know, the studio had stolen his work, murder just doesn't seem like the answer.
Doesn't seem justifiable.
Yeah, that being said, yeah, any particular favorite, I guess, Kyoto animation works?
Nothing that comes to the top of my mind. You have any favorites?
Yeah, I will say that Nichijou, if you've ever seen it, is probably one of my favorite animes, like, of all time, just because of how, I guess, oddball it is.
That's a good one. But no, Kyoto Animation definitely has quite a few phenomenal animations under their belt. I think Clannad was one of my personal favorites.
Right, yes, I haven't... Wow, that takes me all the way back. I've not heard that name in ages.
It's definitely one of the old school animes that has a special place in my heart.
Next up in our news, Toyota halts Japan plants. A system glitch was experienced in Japan's Toyota manufacturing plants, causing 12 of 14 total plants to pause production. This was particularly nerve-wracking as the company was still recovering from a series of preceding setbacks. Although they didn't believe this case to be a cyber attack, there was a previous incident where one of their suppliers underwent one. Just from one day, 14,000 cars were stopped from being produced.
That's a very scary situation, especially considering how big of a brand Toyota is.
Yeah, when I heard about this news, I actually found out that the reason why, I guess, production stopped at all was because I think one computer or many computers or a system of computers, yeah, it actually ran out of disk space, which is, I guess, a very good problem to have considering how prone to cyber attacks, you know, anyone and everyone can be.
Definitely, but it is also kind of sad to see that this is, again, a setback that came at a rather unfortunate time, I suppose.
Hopefully in the future, they'll have a lot more disk space to, I guess, store large files into.
And I guess that...
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ends our segment on general news stories, and we come to you with another song. And now we have Bravely Naturally by Keide Higuchi, which was released on July 17th, 2023. Bravery Naturally by Kaede Higuchi. So the song is currently the theme for the new anime Classroom for Heroes. This one is just about what it sounds like, except there's one very special classmate who used to be the great hero until he supposedly died fighting the Demon King, where they exchanged both of their lives.
The singer Kaede Higuchi is a female virtual YouTuber singer who was also a part of Yuji Sanji's first generation.
Were you a Yuji Sanji fan? I think it was the first generation of the YouTubers that kind of made its way to the internet. I barely remember kind of listening to some of them, but this song definitely matches the vibe of the anime. I haven't watched the anime yet, so it's definitely on my to watch list, but the song has me really excited for what's to come, because I love a good, you know, reincarnation / isekai-esque anime, and this sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, I guess to go back to your question about Yuji Sanji, I know it won't be of any surprise to you that I haven't seen Classroom for Heroes, but I hope that it doesn't upset you to know that I haven't really caught up with Yuji Sanji. I'm like, I've heard of the name, I just haven't gotten into this whole culture of virtual YouTubers, VTubers, or whatnot.
It's definitely a rabbit hole And like once you start, you can't really stop. But no hard feelings, I think. You are forgiven for this transgression.
Yes, maybe one day I'll try to culture myself. For what it's worth, I have had people send me links to HoloLive videos and all that, so yeah.
So you're slowly coming to the dark side. So we're glad to see that, you know, that push is happening, and this song hopefully drives you a little bit further down said rabbit hole.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've heard of this song, it's really textbook anime opening theme. There isn't a lot of depth to it, but sometimes you don't really have to have the deepest meanings. Sometimes, you know, things can be fun. And yeah, I guess if anything, hearing this song has convinced me to try and have more fun.
What a philosophical takeaway from some phenomenal music. But I guess that brings us to our next segment.
Yes, okay. So for our music news, we have John Williams in Japan. For the first time in 30 years, the famed composer John Williams performed in Japan at the Seiji Ozawa Matsumoto Festival in Nagano Prefecture. This is the mind behind the scores in films such as Star Wars, Schindler's List, as well as Harry Potter, which are exactly what he performed. Seiji Ozawa, another well-known conductor, had invited John Williams as his longtime friend. The audience approved of the performance with overwhelming support.
Now, I am a very big fan of John Williams. I'm a Star Wars geek, definitely love me some Star Wars. But it's also really interesting to see this amazing composer, you know, make his way to Japan. And it's also very nice to see that sort of intercultural sharing happening. Do you have any personal John Williams themes that are your favorite, or that you didn't know is, and now you're like, oh my god?
Okay, I know this is gonna sound weird, but one of my favorite, I guess, works of John Williams is Home Alone. I think he also did Home Alone 2, but Home Alone 1 was especially, I guess, musically rich. There's a lot going on in the soundtrack, and yeah, I highly encourage everybody to listen to it. It's for the ways that he tries to incorporate a bunch of like Christmassy leitmotifs in, you know, to convey, I guess, certain kinds of like feelings and, I guess, you know, moments in the movie.
Oh, I can find myself appreciating that. It's very interesting when you see an artist. Well, I personally didn't know that John Williams was the mastermind behind some of my favorite compositions. It's really nice to see that global recognition come into play here as well. And when we're talking about global recognition, we can come to our next story, which is about how Scandal breaks a record. So the rock group Scandal got a Guinness World Record for the longest running rock band with the same musicians in the female category. The group celebrated by hosting a sold-out concert with 1,900 fans. This all followed their recent return from an anime event in Brazil. So they're known as one of the pioneer all-female rock groups in Japan and have had the honor to perform for animes such as Fullmetal Alchemist, Bleach, and even Pokemon.
Yeah, it's a really impressive record. To be honest, I don't really follow like the legitimacy of the Guinness World Records because, yeah, usually people tend to register world records for publicity reasons rather than, I guess, for actual achievements of some sort.
I suppose the Guinness World Records legitimacy can be questioned, but it's still really cool that this is something that exists, or, you know, the fact that they are the longest running female rock band with the same musicians, especially considering a lot of the rock bands that we've covered over the episodes and over the years have definitely seen splits and breakups somewhere at some point in time. It's really cool to see that this group has kind of stuck it out.
I guess, yeah, putting aside the fact that I guess there doesn't really need to be an official record, I do remember Scandal being around for such a long time that I think I was still in school when they were a thing.
I think they were released in around 2000, I mean, they were formed in around 2006-ish? 2006, 2005? Not 100% sure, but from then till now, there's quite a bit of a stretch, you know, quite a long period of running time. And I'm glad to see that they're still making their way, finding a place at events and reliving or living in the joys of still being together as a band.
And speaking of all-female bands, Bandmaid completes their 10th anniversary victory lap in the US during a spectacular tour, ending it in Mexico City. It seems as though there were some newcomers to these concerts, however. The crowds also being very young demographics. Regardless, the group continues to be very popular not only in Japan, but also in the US, with 10 successful and exciting years already under their belts.
I'm really glad to see like a band like Bandmaid still gaining new followers and still having that kind of appeal to younger generations. It's nice that, you know, they're still, even after 10 years, they still got it. I think that's the best way to put it.
Yeah. Are you much of a Bandmaid fan?
Definitely, definitely. I think I got into Bandmaid after I covered it in one of the episodes. So it's definitely a band that's kind of close to my heart. Do you have any Bandmaid songs that you've listened to before or are your favorite?
Oh, I mean, there's the tried and true classic Thrill. I think that was the first song I've ever heard out of Bandmaid. And then there's like Start Over, which it's not quite as high energy or as exciting as their other songs, but I like how understated it is compared to their usual work.
It's definitely a fun song. I think I really enjoyed Don't You Tell Me. So, but I've enjoyed most and all of Bandmaid's songs. I think I really enjoyed that particular album, Just Bring It, I think it was. Because of, like, it was a different sound, but Bandmaid has definitely has a special place in my heart, especially considering I discovered Bandmaid on the podcast.
Yeah, well, that's amazing to hear, and hopefully we'll have some new Bandmaid fans listening to us right now.
Fingers crossed. But when we're talking about songs that you can discover on the podcast, we have our next song, which is Mix by Marushi, and this was released on August 16th, 2023. あの話もまだ終わってないしねこれからの話をしよう人は人って言うしね誰かのバランスもスタンスも気にしなくていいからバカらしいから日々の過去と未来に思い馳せてたまに臆病になるけれど不安と幸せミックスの君が作った底なし沼そこから抜け出す気は1ミリもない偽りのない大好きを溢れるほどの想いを届けたいよ巡り巡る季節越えてゆく君と出会い恋して幸せだよ四六時中君に夢中懐かすぎる お決まりになってる君と休みの電話日々癒し満たして嫌なことだって飛んでいく二人だけの歩幅で構成あまりなく旅をしようよ遭遇する初めてだって怖くないよ君の過去と未来に思い馳せて嫉妬してみたりにやけたり不安と幸せミックスの君が作ったユートピアここから離れる気は1ミリもない君に夢中隣によ Heard Mix by Maruchi Amasi. So she's quite a mysterious but not completely underground talented sort of group, and their YouTube channel boasts almost 200,000 subscribers, with many of their songs getting millions of views.
Their biography is entertaining, living with indelible memories. Marcy, the band that sings in your memory. Why are you singing about my feelings like this? A heartbreak song that spread through word of mouth on social networking services has become a hot topic, and listeners, mainly women of Generation Z or Z, I guess depending on where you live, are addicted to Marcy. A new life-size love song drawn by Marcy is gathering sympathy.
This is definitely one of my new personal favorite songs. I did actually add this to my ever-growing playlist of Japanese music. I've never heard of Marcy or Marcy before, so it was really nice to see a new band, at least to me, kind of come up. And if you were a Marcy fan before, I think I need to fall down this rabbit hole. So if you have any recommendations, I would love to hear them, or any songs that are a must listen to. But this was definitely a love song that I can understand why it appeals to Gen Z. It definitely has the catchiness and rhythm that Gen Z loves.
Yeah, unfortunately I'm not quite as cultured in terms of, I guess, being into Marushi. I've never actually heard of them until quite recently, in fact. But what I can say about this song is that it is a love song, and it's a rather cute one at that. And while I'm not usually a love song kind of person, I do like the way that love is expressed in all sorts of ways. Whether that's, I guess, feeling safe in the company of another person, or being able to be honest with one another, and also thinking about the future with, you know, another person. Kind of like a mix.
Definitely a very cute, wholesome sort of thought to have with you when you listen to something.
On to our other news. Moon viewing season has all restaurants festive. Tsukimi, or moon viewing, is held during the month of September in Japan, and with this activity also comes its many traditions. Much of the cuisine includes fried egg, which, when cooked perfectly, gives off a round shape imitating the moon. Hence, you'll find many food items on Burger King's, KFC's, and Pizza Hut menus in Japan.
Okay, this is, I think, easily one of my favorite parts of Japanese culture, which is the way restaurants kind of capitalize on festivals. It sounds really sad, like, when I say it that way, but I love seeing the new and kind of creative ways restaurants incorporate festivals and seasons into their menus, especially Starbucks. I'm not going to lie, my impression of Starbucks anywhere other than Japan is a generic coffee shop, but seeing and hearing about the kind of waves Starbucks Japan makes, especially around Sakura season, definitely something I would go to Japan to go to Starbucks. Which sounds kind of sad now that I say it out loud.
I don't think there's anything to be sad about. I know of several stories of people going down to Shibuya just to go to Starbucks, you know, the one that has the, that great view of the Shibuya crossing.
Definitely, there's some sort of aesthetic to it all. And I'm all for restaurants picking up on the festivities and the festive mood. because it's nice to see that people can incorporate a bit of the festival in their everyday life, even if they don't necessarily get the time to sit down and celebrate it.
Yeah, and I guess at the same time, every day is worth celebrating in a way. You know, it's always good to mix things up and make every day exciting.
Absolutely, and that kind of provides the perfect segue for me to talk about a rather interesting day that's celebrated in Japan on August 31st, and that is Vegetable Day. So the numbers 8, 3, and 1, so 8 for August and 2, 1 for the day itself, which can be pronounced as Yasai, means vegetables, so therefore dubbed Vegetable Day. The country is known for having many quasi-holidays. However, this one brought a funny surprise from McDonald's. Many companies will use these holidays as a chance to market their products, since workers are not given these days off. I mean, while I would love a Vegetable Day holiday, I don't think governments are about to announce it anytime soon. So they're marked as unofficial holidays. So on a tweet, the company said, "Did you know potatoes are actually vegetables? August 31st is Vegetable Day." And below it, they placed an image of McDonald's French fries in a potato field saying, "Let's eat vegetables." And this is, I think, a promotion of vegetables that I very much approve of. I am a very proud member of the "I eat vegetables only if I have to" committee, which it sounds... Again, I feel like I'm making really sad statements about my own personal life at this point, but I approve of this message by McDonald's.
Yes, I am also a big fan of the fact that potatoes are vegetables. So thank you to McDonald's for pointing that out. I hope that didn't blow everyone's minds to know that potatoes are actually vegetables.
It's really insane, you know. I never really knew it till McDonald's let us know what we should look forward to in life under the category of vegetables.
Yeah. That aside though, I think people should be celebrating corn as well. I know everybody loves potatoes, but corn is just as, if not more, versatile than potatoes.
I'm a big fan of corn as well, so I think I am completely on board with us celebrating a day dedicated to corn. Do you think maybe you can convince governments to like make it an official holiday? Who knows? We're looking at the progress. Progress will be the day we have official holidays for corn and potato, I think.
What other, I guess, vegetables are worth celebrating?
See, like I said, I'm a very proud member of the "I eat vegetables only if I have to" committee, so I don't think I have much else to add to that. I'm not going to say.
Fair enough. And on the topic of interesting news, how about ocean tub karaoke? So, luxury hotel Hoshino Resorts now offers a chance for visitors to enter a floating tub in the ocean to sing karaoke with each other, something they call kaijo karaoke, or literally karaoke on the ocean. For 40,000 yen, or just under $300 US, up to 4 people can be set out to sea for 30 minutes with caviar and other luxury refreshments. Would you sign up for this?
I think I just might. I'm not gonna lie. You do things for the experience, and I think at some point in my life, I want to experience what we have dubbed as ocean tub karaoke. I think it's now on my to-do list in life. Because it sounds like so much fun. Just belting your heart out in the middle of the sea. I need someone to sing "My Heart Will Go On," otherwise I'll be really upset.
I knew you'd go there. Yeah, funny thing actually. Yesterday I went out to this what do we even call it? It's a sort of like clubhouse for people who like sailing. The event there was actually, yeah, you know, I came there to sing sea shanties and have drinks with other people. So yeah, this kind of thing feels a lot like, I guess, you know, singing sea shanties and pirate songs and all that.
I think that would be the right genre of music to sing during ocean tub karaoke. I cannot get over, like, the idea of karaoke on the ocean, and that just being the marketing of it overall. It's Shana approved, I think.
Yes. I think, how likely would it be, for literally everyone to be singing that same song, My Heart Will Go On?
Very likely, I think. I think it'll be on their, us sing songs on the ocean. And someone needs to recreate the Rose and Jack scene just to prove that there was enough space on that door.
Okay. But, yeah, if I had to wager a dollar for every time someone chose that song, I feel like there'd be enough for myself to actually participate in this karaoke in the ocean.
Maybe that's what you should do. Just use that as a way to raise enough money for some karaoke on the ocean. Business ideas. And if we're going to talk about fun business ideas, I think Nissin never fails to disappoint, because they're now introducing a gaming version of Cup Noodles. And I hear every gamer across the globe just unanimously cheer. I don't think anyone is upset by this concept or idea. So there's now a gaming cup noodle that incorporates an essential ingredient for serious gamers, caffeine. Nissin is the company behind this magnificent invention, and they're also responsible for the world's first instant ramen sold in a cup. So if you love gaming and want a way to eat, have a meal and stay caffeinated all in one, then this is definitely something you should try. Sleepless nights, a cup of gaming cup noodles on hand sounds like every gamer's daily life.
Yeah, I can imagine it also being, I'm not going to speak to the quality of it, but I will say that it sounds like a breakfast of some sort. I will leave it up to the listener to judge whether it's a good or a bad breakfast.
I think you need to try the caffeinated cup noodles in order to make your judgment. We must have an open mind to interesting flavors of all sorts.
Yeah, I think we should stop there. We should also have, tests around, does it actually improve your gaming performance?
I think we're entering a field of research, an area unexplored. Next time Rintan and I are hosting an episode, we may just have doctor in front of our names. Some scholarly research going into the effectiveness of the gaming cup movie.
And so, earlier in this episode, I did mention that I had been getting into the Netflix adaptation of One Piece, and yeah, we have live action One Piece action figures. So, Netflix recently released their live action rendition of the popular manga and anime One Piece, which has raised some relatively high excitement. However, what is more interesting is the new line of extremely accurate, lifelike action figures announced by Hot Toys. You can get both Luffy or Zoro, not only as they are depicted in the anime, but as they are in the live action version, therefore looking like the actors as well in 1/6 scale.
Okay, now I was personally absolutely shocked by how good the One Piece, the reception of the One Piece live action has been. It hasn't been released, at least I haven't seen it yet. But I'm staying off that side of the internet, but I know just enough to know that I should be excited.
Yeah, I think when I heard about live action One Piece, I was like, oh no, I've only just finished watching live action Death Note, and not just the original Japanese live action Death Note, but the Netflix
one? Yes.
Yes.
Oh no.
Yeah, so it was like, I had a bit of a heart attack, when I first heard about it. Yeah, after actually having watched it last week, I can happily say it's a great show. And I guess as someone who doesn't have the time to watch all 1,000-ish episodes of the anime, the Netflix adaptation is probably the next best thing.
So very, very exciting upgrades, progress in the world of Japanese live action. While normal live-action fans are left kind of disappointed, I think the One Piece might be our shot at redemption. And I'm not gonna lie, I think I can get behind having a live-action Zoro action figure. I'm a big Zoro fan, so...
Yeah, for myself, I'm not quite sure. It's like, anime action figures, I can understand, but the live action renditions, it...
Is it concerning or is it fun? That is the question.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw the action figures, I did get a sense of Uncanny Valley.
Definitely an interesting addition to a collection, but I feel like I'm interested. There's definitely going to be a market, I think.
Definitely.
And we are now down to our last song for this episode. We are winding down on our fall news of 2023. And we're ending on a lovely note with our next song, Parade by How to Count to 10, which was released on October 8th, 2014.
We'll be right back.
you just heard Parade by How to Count 1 to 10. So this is another math rock group, but this time from Japan. So recently we introduced Elephant Gym from Taiwan, and if you liked their sound, you probably noticed similarities with this group. So if you haven't though, I highly suggest you go and check out that episode. But interestingly enough, both these groups have done concerts with each other before, and fans have said they absolutely loved it. We love to see crossovers that make their way and create, you know, really interesting connections between some of the best of both worlds. This is what How to Count 1 to 10 has to say for themselves.
Yeah, so what they've had to say about themselves is that there's no vocals to our music. Neither is there a lead part. It's not an exaggeration to say that there's no starring role to our music. Each musical part plays a supporting role to create a melody that is the single theme. Each part is made from the interpretation of the composition, which means that deep thought is put into the point, strength, and timing of the picking. It is holding your breath as if to dive 2,000 meters into the deep sea, and gradually changing everything into pressure, mainly concentration. The deeper you dive, the more obvious the displacement of the rhythm becomes, making you able to feel the ultra-delicate nuance between the notes. Then, the sense of time is stretched out to make a second feel infinitely long. Even the gap of a fraction of a second of a composition at 180 beats per minute feels long, and bears importance. We feel it is one of the important points of our music to embody the gap that appears. It is the spirit of feeling and sensing within this limited community of five. In other words, our music is about capturing the gap. If all five members can keep diving at the same depth, the result would be outstanding music, but it has yet to be realized. This is, however, what we aim for.
That's quite some thought behind their music, and while they say they haven't achieved it, I can definitely kind of hear them bridging the gap and creating that nuance that they spoke about. I really enjoyed this song, instrumental. I don't necessarily know what to call it, but it works together so, so well.
Yeah. Although what the group kind of like described of themselves might sound a bit abstract and complex, it really does, I guess, sort of, you know, capture quite precisely what math rock is all about. And I know that it's not quite everybody's thing, but I am an absolute sucker for math rock. I can't think of a better way to, I guess, end an episode than here.
Absolutely. So from gaming cup noodles to economies in crisis, I feel like we've covered a plethora of topics, and it's the end of our journey with the fall news of 2023. I'm sure we've only scratched the surface of things that have been happening in Japan. But however, time is limited. Never fear though, because it may be the end for Brinton and I, but Miyabi and Andy will join you a week from now to bring you a special episode featuring Japanese songs that were used in popular Kanto and Mando pop. So stay tuned for that. And I guess with that, we are signing off for this episode. We hope you enjoyed listening to the world of Japanese news and more. See you next time then.
Yes, see you next time.
Bye. Japan Top 10.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.